Some people like Chris Emma.
We are two of them, Matt Spiegel, Anthony Herron, right here on 670 The Score. Quite fond of him. The other guy told him to lay off the honey buns, and I thought that was uncalled for. That's not the way we talk to teammates and colleagues around this place anymore. Chris Emma joins us right now on The Score Hotline, presented by Circa Resort Casino in Las Vegas, home of the world's largest sports book. Chris, what's up, man? Welcome in. Big news-breaking kind of day here on The Score, isn't it?
What's up, guys? Yeah, the 53-man roster is set in initial form. More roster moves to come, the churn to follow in the next few days, but the Bears have a 53-man roster.
Yes, they do. The headline for those who have not been able to pay attention, who made the team from your perspective before we get to the cuts, the waves, and stuff like that? Who made the team?
I think there were a lot of eyes on the name of Velus Jones Jr., who obviously became kind of a Hard Knocks darling, had a strong showing for the most part in the preseason, and made this big position switch. He made the roster. He is listed officially as a wide receiver, though we know they're going to use him plenty out of the backfield as well. They really like what Velus Jones brings to that mix. So he's in. Frankly, I think I've said it many times on this program the last 6 weeks, whatever it's been now, that I did not think he was going to be on the roster. And to his credit, like, he looks good as a running back. He's got the kind of skill set they need, and he earned his way there. So that's certainly the name that everybody's kind of paying attention to. A couple key designations as well for the injured reserve, with Larry Borum going on, as well as Jacob Martin. Again, more monster maneuvering coming. The Bears need a long snapper, too. That's another note to pass along. Patrick Skills is expected to go on IR, a short-term deal, though. It could keep him out into October. The Bears will need to find a long snapper. One name to keep an eye on, I think, is Scott Daly, who was with the Lions for the last 3 years, former Notre Dame product, or Notre Dame product and local product as well, and a guy I think could be the pick for the Bears.
I just realized, by the way, Ant, real quick, when the Spiegel and Manley show took a team-building trip down to South Bend to see them play against North Carolina, when Mitch Trubisky was on the bench, by the way, before he became the starter, we met Scott Daly, the long snapper, a Patrick Manley disciple, and who is not these days. So if it is indeed Scott Daly, that's a guy who learned under the tutelage of Patrick Manley.
Did the Manley Award exist back then? Was he a nominee for it?
I think he was pre-Manley Award.
Okay, yeah.
We went and hung out with him after the game a little bit. Much respect, deservedly so.
That particular trip. Dante Pettis, I didn't know, Emma, that he was banged up. I thought he had returned from injury and finished out the preseason in fine fashion. How is he on IR all of a sudden? Where'd that come from?
Yeah, well, it went down late. Forgive me, I don't have the exact occasion of that injury, but he went down and it opened up a competition to DeAndre Carter, who was kind of fighting with Pettis for one of those roster spots, a wide receiver. DeAndre Carter, I think, is going to be one of your primary returners of this group, a reliable veteran, although he had a couple of tough moments in the preseason. But this is a guy I think they're going to really lean on in that role. And who knows, maybe he can play a role in offense as well.
So, yeah, I think it was the practice just before that last preseason game, but still, it wasn't realized that it was going to be kind of this severe. How about in terms of the secondary, surprises or not from your perspective on the folks who got cut, waived, released, and the folks who did make the team? Chris.
Yeah, I mean, obviously, Reddy Stewart made quite an impression in that preseason finale. I think people were putting him on their roster, hoping for him at least to make this team. But, man, that cornerback group is stacked. That safety group is pretty well set as well. Greg Stroman's another name, a guy who had some good moments for the Bears and somebody who's really put out a strong display throughout this preseason. Not on the roster. Released as a veteran, vested veteran, which means he's free to sign anywhere. I'm sure the Bears would love to get him on the practice squad if they can, but they're pretty well set with that group of six at corner. Look, you got three really strong starters up there with Jalen Johnson, Tyreek Stevenson, and Kyler Gordon. But the other three, and Terrell Smith, Josh Blackwell, and Jamin Jones, those are three guys who could be starting for any other team as well. So I think that's the strongest position group on this roster, and it's kind of reflected with some of the difficult decisions made.
Yeah, Jalen Jones, every time that he's played, has looked solid, and they got to feel good about him as an undrafted free agent acquisition from a couple years ago. So now they've got him locked and loaded.
And Micah Baskerville has been really impressive throughout the preseason when he's had the opportunity to make some plays. He's been able to showcase that as well. But Noah Sewell seemingly makes the initial 53-man roster. And he was just a fifth-round pick last year. So you understand they don't want to give up on someone they invested draft capital in from last season who's shown some physical abilities. But did that surprise you at all, given how banged up Noah Sewell's been, Chris?
I could have made a case from either way. I think it ultimately comes down to the idea that this is one of their own draft picks. This is a developmental prospect, a guy who they see a high ceiling for still. I mean, look, he was a big-time prospect going to Oregon and just never quite lived up to that potential in place. They got a really good linebackers coach in Dave Borgonzi that they believe in a lot. And it helps when you've got two established starters, that tandem of Edmonds and Edwards. You got a guy in Jack Sanborn you really believe in. You're able to take a guy like Noah Sewell and keep him on your roster to continue that development track. So I guess I'm not surprised. Ultimately, here's the other thing, guys. Look, like, the bottom of this roster is still not quite there yet. Like, and that's to be expected. They've gone through three off seasons now under the watch of Ryan Poles. The roster turnover has led to a very strong top of the depth chart. You feel really good about the guys that you have leading the way for this team, but they're still lacking the bottom part of the roster. And that's going to take more time. It's going to take more off seasons, but it's going to take more creative moves in terms of the waiver wires and what's out there and the continued evolution that a roster has throughout the course of a season. So, look, I made my first and only 53 projection last week following the preseason game. And when you really lay it out there, you kind of get a sense that some of these decisions, like, not overly difficult. I know Ryan Poles talked about how this should be a tough team to make, and I think it was, but you're still lacking quality depth in a lot of spots, and that kind of reflects throughout some of these decisions.
I want to get to one other position group, but where do you suspect that they might look? And I can ask this of both you, Ant, and first you, Chris, Emma. What position group might they look at some of the waived folks? Because we're seeing a lot of names out there at skill positions, but I don't know that they'll be looking there offensively. What position groups do you think they might look at in terms of the bottom of the roster if they're going to look around the league?
Yeah, I think defensive line for sure. I mean, they're still – you made two moves for that last week, getting Daryl Taylor and Chris Williams. Again, a pass rusher and a defensive tackle, but there's still a lot more needed. They really need to upgrade the depth of those positions because you don't have that, – that's a position where you're rotating guys, and you don't have great rotation set. You got some good guys, and you got some guys you really hope can emerge. When you talk about Dominic Robinson, Austin Booker, Daniel Hardy, guys like that, but you still really need to add better depth of those spots. So I do think they're going to be looking at those spots when they get to the waiver wire here. And 11 a.m. tomorrow, keep that point in time in mind because that's when these waiver claims are submitted.
Well, you know, you mentioned Daniel Hardy. He makes the team, at least as of right now. So Daniel Hardy makes the team. Of course, Austin Booker makes the team. And Dominic Robinson makes the team. I got to say, and brought him up yesterday, the three players who I was wondering and kind of hoping that I would see Ryan Poles cut bait on some of his own draft picks. Now they're all here. Dominic Robinson is here. Noah Sewell. I mean, you mentioned Baskerville. There were folks saying that Carl Jones Jr. had played well enough to probably deserve some consideration. But Noah Sewell makes the team. And, of course, Velus Jones. So all three of those kind of heartstring guys for Ryan Poles all make this team initially.
And Velus in a different position than Noah Sewell, where Noah Sewell's been banged up for a lot of his Bears career so far, and he's only in his second season. It's year three for Velus Jones, and he's been active a lot. He hasn't been injured very much. He just hadn't played well. He's missed a lot of opportunities to make plays, and so do you develop out of that is the question to me that lingers with Velus Jones. It's not like he hasn't had his opportunities, and maybe he was thrust into the punt returner thing earlier than he should have been, but he failed at that pretty miserably, and now they're switching positions. He's shown some potential at running back, but he's got to showcase a lot more playmaking ability, the ability to seize the moment in a way that he hasn't up to this point. And I'm not ruling it out, but again, this is a squad that's ready to compete to win games, to win big games right now. So it's a roll of the dice if Velus Jones is going to be a guy who's trusted to be in a key spot because he just hasn't shown a knack for rising up in those positions. Noah Sewell, you know, it's his second year in the NFL, and he's been hurt a good bit. But to Emma's point, he's a very gifted athlete who was one of the top players in the country. I mean, Velus Jones was one of the top players in the country when he came out of high school too. But you know, Noah Sewell, there's a lot of meat on the bone to still evaluate what he could potentially do.
Speaks, I got one other name for you as well. When you talk about a draft pick that did make the team, that's Doug Kramer, who's been now going into his third season. I don't know if I would have forecasted that initially, but talk to people around the Bears, and he really impressed them. He showed strong development track, and he looks like a guy who's still arrow pointing up. He earned the team's faith. They're keeping 10 offensive linemen right now, in addition to 10 defensive linemen. You're going to have to stash one away. You're going to have to get rid of somebody because you do have to add that long snapper still once you – I take that back. No, because they're placing Patrick Skills on IR, so you don't have to make that move. So you got 10 defensive linemen, 10 offensive linemen. Kramer's a guy who has really stood out. Bill Murray as well has earned the admiration of guys like Matt Eberflus and the coaching staff. So, yeah, you're deep in that, in those two positions, and you feel really good about some of the young guys coming along.
Yeah, and we were able to confirm a couple of weeks ago, this is What About Bob era Bill Murray. That's like a solid character actor. Right. Can't necessarily confirm be trusted to carry the film on his own at that point, but really, as long as you give him a good, solid co-star, he's going to be totally fine. So Doug Kramer... that's your backup center as of right now. Ryan Bates injured, but and probably going to be inactive for week one. Is that the thought? Doug Kramer needs to be here and might be active for week one as a backup center.
So, yeah, and let me backtrack on something. I'm getting lost in my mind with the roster turner. So you release Kari Blasen game. The hope is to bring him back and sign him back. Mm-hmm. So you have to waive somebody. I do think you're going to be waiving one of those offensive linemen. You place Patrick Skills on IR, add your new long snapper to the mix. So, yeah, you form the roster that way. There's some decisions to be made. And as we know, waiver wire's coming. So they're going to be aggressive, I think, once again. They've been aggressive the last couple of years in these decisions, and the roster turn continues on from there.
And I would imagine that a backup center might be the spot that they would be targeting if there's a veteran available there. You know, a veteran starter is going to be difficult to come by unless there's just some shocking cap casualty that somebody lets a guy go. But – you know, at this point, you're invested enough in Coleman Shelton. He's been getting all the reps as the starting center for the majority of the offseason here. So they got to feel okay about Coleman Shelton
all
being
right.
the starter.
So as I'm looking around today at cuts around the league, I'm not really worried about the quarterbacks, which is a lovely place to be, feeling good, obviously, about Caleb Williams and about Tyson Bagent as your two. So I see Nate Sudfeld cut. I'm not worried about that. As I look around, I see running backs cut. Hey, Royce Freeman got released in Dallas.
Rolls-Royce Freeman.
You know, I wonder, should the Bears be looking at that? No, I think they're okay. They're going to keep, I mean, they're obviously keeping DeAndre Swift. They're keeping Khalil Herbert and Roschon Johnson. Travis Homer as well, a guy they do like on special teams. And we'll see if the fullback comes back plays in game two. That means you're going to have five of those guys. It'll be an interesting kind of moment. But I will look around for centers. I will look around for, you know, backup centers, as you mentioned. Carl Lawson is a guy got picked up by the Cowboys in training camp and then released. Edge rusher, you know, do we look around for a veteran edge rusher like that to maybe bring in to bolster the D-line?
It would certainly be nice. I think they at least have enough right now. They've seen production in the preseason. They've added production from other teams in Daryl Taylor. So, I mean, there's enough production, especially on the edge on the defensive front, where you can never have enough, but they're in a comfortable space with the edge of the D-line, more so than the interior with Zach Pickens being banged up here. But the offensive line is where I'm more concerned, especially with the center position. Not, you know, if everybody was healthy, I'd feel good about having Coleman Shelton and Ryan Bates and giving Shane Waldron an opportunity to figure out how to piece that together. But with Ryan Bates being banged up, as much as, you know, I like Doug Kramer's potential, developmental guy, I feel good for that story with him coming out of the Illini, but if he's your backup center for game one, then until he's proven something in regular season NFL action, then you might have a hole there.
Our guy Chris Emma on the line with us for a couple more minutes here on the score. In terms of the quarterbacks, do you suspect they'll try to get Austin Reed or Brett Rypien onto the practice squad as a third guy?
Yeah, I think so. And look, at I think they like the idea of having a sounding board for a young quarterback, but they also really like Austin Reed. I think they see him as a good guy to have in that meeting room. Somebody who's been certainly close to Caleb Williams. So I think he could be that guy that ultimately gets that practice squad spot. And I think a backtrack of one thing we said as well there, as you talk about what they could be adding, swing tackle is a position. Larry Borum was somebody they valued as that swing tackle. He goes down with the injury. He goes to injured reserve. Matt Pryor is your swing tackle for now, and he does have some veteran experience, but I think they'll be scouring the market for a swing tackle potentially.
Yeah, and I like Matt Pryor, what we saw from him in the preseason.
Amagaje
well.
Thought of as a guy who could develop into that, but he's been injured all offseason.
Yeah,
hasn't
had
a chance
an opportunity to
work.
To prove anything. So you want to keep him around, but you can't count on him to be ready for early regular season games. He's been hurt the entire time so far.
Yeah, you know, I guess I'm surprised. Maybe it's the Dante Pettis injury that opens the door for Velus a little bit. And DeAndre Carter, I wasn't sure that there was a spot for both DeAndre Carter and Velus Jones Jr.
I'm not sure
roster.
That there is. I my guess is the Bears are going to try to add some more offensive line depth. It's got to fall right. They got to see a guy they like. You don't want to just bring somebody in who hasn't been here just because it's a body. But if they see somebody on the waiver wire, if they see somebody who gets released because of some cap issues or something like that,
yeah.
I can't imagine they're not going to continue to scour the earth as much as possible to find more depth on the O-line.
The whole earth? Like, where would you go?
I mean, perhaps even outer space. I think you would preferably look elsewhere. You know, if there's an O-lineman on Mars.
So maybe it's Space Jam, Bill Murray, that they have. Okay. You know?
Yeah.
So there's
at least
room.
Richard Dreyfuss wasn't there to run him off in Space
right.
Jam.
Peoria Matt wonders, is this Mad Dog and Glory era Bill Murray? Ooh, is that okay. What we're talking about? That's a similar era to what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
It's not St. Vincent Bill Murray. That guy can't play for me.
Didn't end up seeing that one, but yeah.
St. Vincent?
It didn't, good. Didn't appeal to me in
thoughtful.
The previews, was it?
Yeah, thoughtful. Okay. Right. Nice work.
I'd kind of phased out of my Bill Murray time by the time we got to St. Vincent.
Yeah, you know, that's more of a Lost in Translation kind of thing. It's an extension of Lost in Translation, Bill Murray, on that one. All right, Chris Emma, this is nonsense. Anything else from you before we let you go? Do you have any other thoughts of consequence at all, Chris?
How about Groundhog's Day, Bill Murray?
Thanks, buddy. Yeah. Good to talk to you.
That's a good submission, late.
Those two on the nose. No, good stuff, Chris. Thank you very much.
Movie.
Yeah, Daniel Norris enjoys that one. Appreciate you. Thanks, Chris. Appreciate it. You can read Chris.
Thanks, Chris. Appreciate it, Chris.
Got the Zoom log off.
I think when the new show starts, whatever it may be, whenever it may be,
each of
us should be able to decide three or four things that either drops wise we don't play anymore, or three or four things that we can't say anymore.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I think we should get to decide that.
I mean, you don't get to decide what I can and can't say.
No, that's what I'm saying.
No,
we
I know.
Each get to decide what the other person
really?
Can't say anymore.
I know that you want to outlaw me saying the Odyssey. I mean, Audacity.
Exactly.
You want to outlaw that?
Ding, ding, ding.
Yeah. No. I mean, here's the thing. Certain joys in life cannot be removed.
Okay.
You know, like, after every, the first song of every Tributosaurus concert, do you know what I say? After every single time we play the first song, I've done this for 22 years. First song.
I've seen you a few times.
First song gets played, and I immediately say, at the end of it, I say, good night, everybody. Thanks so much. Thank you. You guys have been great, right?
Does it slay them every time?
No. No,
okay.
It doesn't, Ant.
Okay.
It does not.
It's for an audience of one.
It slays them. It slays some of them now, but we are going on year 22 of this, and I am leaning in hard. I am staying committed. Some people laugh. Some people groan. Some people who used to groan now laugh again.
Okay.
I'm in it for the continued evolution of the way that joke feels. You know what I mean?
Uh-huh.
Just the other day, we drove by Ruben's school, and anytime he's in the car, we drive by, I always say, you know what we should do? We should just leave you here, and then you can just, you know, wait until the school opens. Mm-hmm. And every single time. It's probably now in his life, 30, 35, maybe 40 times I've made that joke. He groans. He doesn't like it. I don't care. It makes me laugh so damn hard. So I am committed to some of these kinds of jokes.
To the audacity
yes.
of your own humor.
The Odyssey / audacity of it is not going anywhere. 312-644-6767 is how you can reach us via text or via phone. Want to get your thoughts on these Bears roster moves. If you've got any thoughts on them, you want to hop in, you can do so right now. By the way, download the Odyssey app, or the Audacity app, I forget. Search for 670 The Score. Tap follow to receive alerts on our Bears coverage. If you can't get enough, check out the Take the North podcast with David Haw and Dan Wiederer, breaking down the biggest storylines ahead of the new season. Follow Take the North on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcast. Couple things for you. One, I brought it up earlier and we've got some text saved and we can get some new thoughts on it. Name me a subtle way that your Bears fan existence has changed because Caleb Williams is here. Because there's a couple from earlier on in the day I want to get to, a couple things that have come to mind. A subtle change to your Bears fan existence that exists now because Caleb Williams is here. And then Anthony Herron had Shane Reardon do a research project, and Anthony Herron has taken out a highlighter and highlighted some things on that research project for a Bears-related topic that we will get to in a matter of moments as well. It's Score Afternoons, it's Spiegs and Ann Herron here on 670 The Score.